Good morning. Welcome to the online service. This morning, we're going to be looking at part of the culture that we're trying to establish here at the church. And we've looked at flexibility, we've looked at open, and today we will look at cooperation. We pray that you will enjoy the message, that it will be informative, that it will be transforming, and that it will give you vision for life. God bless you.
Hello, hello, hello. How's everyone doing this morning? It's great to virtually meet everyone again online. We just have a few notices today. We have the same standard health and safety standards. We just want to mention that when you do decide to come back to church, that we will have the clear one-way system. So the entrance will be through the standard entrance, and the exit must be through the other exit outside the back through the coffee shop. We also have, of course, it's mandatory to wear masks and to keep that safety social distancing. We will also have three bands. I mentioned it last week. We will have three bands. We will have the green band. That is for, if I may just show you guys, the I am comfortable with social distancing band. And then we have the yellow band. That is for, I prefer to be a little bit more cautious. Okay, so if you are just want to adhere to the regular safety standards, then please wear the green band. If you want to be a little bit more cautious, then please pick the yellow band. And then we have the red one. Please use highest of caution around me. So perhaps you may have an illness, or perhaps you just want to be a little bit more cautious, then please feel free to wear the red bands. We will, of course, everyone will be respectful and gracious to whatever you choose to do. And then we have Andrew's home group. It will start at the 17th of September at 4 p.m. at the church. So everyone who's excited to reattend a home group, please, that will be Andrew's home group at 4 p.m. on the 17th of September at the church. Thank you very much, guys.
It's so good to be here. And, you know, I've been saying lately that coming back to church late, you know, just this is our third Sunday, that it's a little bit like starting fresh, you know, in some ways. So to me, that there's all that, there was a little bit of worry, because when we were online, I just kind of thought, is there even a church anymore? You know, I mean, I knew there was, but you just kind of wonder what was going on. And, but it really is a little bit of a restarting with fear, but there's also the restarting with excitement. You know, I really feel like there's a pruning going on. I feel like God is doing a new thing, and it's very exciting. And so the last few weeks, we've actually been looking at doing a series on what is our desire as a church? What are we doing as a church? And, you know, we really want to be a place of encouragement. We want to encourage lives to walk closer to Jesus. We want to encourage lives to be settled on the foundation of Jesus in a balanced way. You know, we've all experienced lately how things can change so quickly. You know, in the 1800s, when they were looking into the 1900s, the world, the Christian world, actually thought that they were going to go into a millennium where it was going to be just wonderful. Christianity would reign on the earth. And then they found themselves with the First World War and the Second World War. And it is in times like that that we really need a solid foundation to stand on. Where do you have when everything is removed? That's really who we are at the end. And so our desire is to encourage people to stand on the solid foundation of Jesus in a balanced way. Because ultimately, that is when everything is removed, that is what remains. Now, we also looked at the fact that who is it that we're wanting to reach? What are we wanting to do? What is the goal in doing this? And ultimately, we want to introduce people to Jesus. He is the most wonderful person in history, and we want people to know him personally. I know some of you, if you don't know him, you must be like, but how? There, I don't see him. I can't touch him. And that is exactly what I thought. For years, actually, I remember going towards a meeting, and we were, there was Christian people. I wasn't a Christian. I remember going in the car to a meeting, and we were guys in the car, and they were singing Third Day songs. And one of them was, I forgot the song, but it was singing a love song to Jesus. And I found that quite weird that guys would sing a love song to another guy. You know, just to me, it was just a bit strange. And you know what? I went to this meeting, and that day I was introduced to the Lord Jesus, and I came out singing those very songs to the Lord Jesus. Everything changed. I didn't understand that before, but then afterwards I did understanding. And our desire here really truly is to introduce you to the Lord Jesus, not to control your lives. We looked at last week, but like the Ethiopian eunuch, that you are able to go from here rejoicing. Maybe with your circumstances not having changed at all, but you've changed. You feel completely rich, even though your financial situation has not changed. You feel completely accompanied, although you felt lonely. But that everything changes because you meet him. But then we also want to be a place where we can provide an atmosphere of growth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not in a controlling way. I mean, I have to put several boundaries for my children, but I don't have to put the energy or the growth or you know, I got to cultivate the life of these children to allow them to be everything that God wants them to be. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a place where your fellowship with your relationship with Jesus will develop. And then lastly, what we want to be is a place where we're able to equip you to serve Jesus. I mean, I think the most wonderful thing to me, I've always said it, I don't want to be a CEO. I don't want to be like this a head that says, you do this, you do that, you do this, and now we're going to do this mission and that mission. What I want is the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to be the head. And that he puts desires upon your heart. And that we're able to equip you to fulfill what God has called you to do. You know, nothing is better, and I remember being a young person, and I can't say that I am a young person anymore, but I remember being young and being 25 and having no clue what to do with my life. I marvel. I've met 11-year-olds who already know what they want to do. And I'm like, that's amazing. That's wonderful. But I didn't. But But it's amazing when you meet the Lord Jesus and all of a sudden you realize He's created you for a purpose. And we want to be people to equip you to fulfill that purpose in your life that Jesus has for you. And then we wanted to develop culture. And I understand the Bible is our culture, but we came up with 7 things that we felt would be really, really good if we're going to live happily together as a church. And last week we looked at a couple of them, and I'm not going to go in depth about them, but if we're going to live happily as a church, we must be flexible. It cannot be your way or the highway. It has to be, there's got to be a flexibility of timing, a flexibility of even what the decoration looks like, or the coffee, or there's got to be a flexibility of, even if you come from certain denominations, of sort of trying to sift through your life what has been taught you that might just be tradition, and what has been taught you that is the Word of God, and holding on to that which is firm, but letting go of that which is not so firm. There has to be a flexibility among us if we're going to get on. The other one was open. Open to express our ideas. So in other words, there's flexibility, but it doesn't mean that we're puppets. You know, expressing ideas, but also open to receive ideas. Not just open to receive ideas, but also to receive correction, to receive comfort, to receive encouragement. Or even if you've been offended, to be open enough to go up to the person and says, you know what? What you said actually hurt me. Could we please talk about it? Because maybe I misunderstood it. But there has to be an open environment among us. And I thought today we would look at the remaining 5. And we're going to look at the next one only. Which another thing that we're going to need among us is going to be cooperation. So that's what we're going to look at today. If we're going to live happily as a church, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to learn how to cooperate with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift. And here you have a wonderful contrast of the oneness and yet the diversity, the all. Right? And you know, the reality is in the Christian life, we are not an island. I lived in London for 3.5 years, and it is crazy. I think all the crazy Christians live there. Well, no, some of you guys live here too, actually, but I'm just kidding. But you know, London is the crazy place. And the common denominator of all these crazy Christians, I know it sounds kind of harsh, but I'm not being harsh, but the common denominator is that actually there are islands. They live by themselves, they worship by themselves, they pray by themselves, and you know what? No church in the world is good enough for them. After all, they are the faithful ones individually, and everybody else is just a little bit beneath. And that is not the Christian life. The Bible says no man is an island. And you know what? One of the things that we come to know in the Christian life is that by this men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, Jesus said. And that means that we live and coexist with people. That means we rely on one another to survive, so to speak. Versus when individuals compete for limited resources. If you've ever read the book, The Lord of the Flies, you see that when all of a sudden there is lack, each man to themselves can be a very dangerous philosophy. And I think COVID-19 has really brought up the worst in people and the best in people. And help us to realize, I mean, to me, it's really helped me to realize friendships, how appreciative I am of solid, genuine friendship. And if we're going to meet here, if we're going to make this our home church, there's going to be a sense of cooperation together, cooperating towards all of us towards one common goal. We are interdependent, but not individualistic. And cooperation is when individuals work together in order to create a benefit for an entire group. You can see it in the animal kingdom. I had to look it up. I was like, just show me cooperation in the animal kingdom. And all of a sudden, these papers begin to come up. Ants. And it's funny because these papers came up, but the Bible says, go to the ant, you slugger, observe. Observe the ant. So how does the ant work? As many as 200,000 ants a day pour out into the nest, out of the nest, in search for food, splitting into two groups to form two outgoing lanes, and they return in a single center lane, sometimes carrying more than 30,000 edible grasshoppers or other insects. I mean, that's cooperation. Even the animals know how to cooperate. Fish. I had the privilege of going to the Red Sea, and we went on a particular dive that it was about 20 meters. It wasn't very deep. But then there was a wall that went down 100 meters, and a ship sank, and half the ship was on the 20 meters, and the other half sunk down to the wall, and it actually let go of a bunch of toilets. So we actually went to dive, and people like to take the nice picture of them sitting on the toilet, you know, in the Red Sea. But what there was there, it was a cleaning station. And you're like, what? What is a cleaning station? You know what a cleaning station is? It's where big fish, fish that eat other fish, actually go to this cleaning station and just open their mouths. And then other fish that could be eaten by the big fish actually go into the big fish's mouth and eat all the bacteria and all the parasites. And the big fish allow themselves for that to be done without eating them. And it's a mutual agreement that they're going to cooperate. I'm not going to eat you, and you're going to brush my teeth. And by brushing my teeth, you're going to feed yourself. Even the animal kingdom knows how to show respect to cooperation. Bats. It seems like they are the problem that we find ourselves in. But bats, some vampire bats, for some animals, it is absolutely essential to cooperate. Groups of vampire bats have a system of food sharing that helps ensure their survival as a species. Bats die if they go two nights without a meal. And hunting for blood, as their only source of food, can be risky business. Adult bats fail to find blood 8% of the time, and younger bats 1/3 of the time. And hunger is rare because bats share food found with bats that don't. If they didn't share, 4 out of every 5 bats would die each year, but by cooperating, they reduce the death rate. Bats, which, by the way, just as a side note, I don't know how we want to cooperate with this, but I mentioned to a couple people, Tom, but I mean, I would like to start a food bank. I think now in the winter, we're going to have a bit of a hard time. Palma has food banks. but Calviá has no food bank. And I know some of you guys are able to purchase different things wholesale. So we're looking for ideas and ways of doing this. But I believe that we need to, right now we're giving 2,000 euros a month to people in need that lost their jobs, their income has been reduced tremendously. And I think there would be a good way to start a food bank to be able to feed and to give at least the basics to people that this winter are gonna be without basics. If bats do it, I think we could too. But cooperation, being able to serve together, being able to collaborate with one another. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, it says we are one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, above all, through all, and in all. And notice the contrast. I think if we're going to cooperate, if we're going to have successful and meaningful cooperation with one another, we're going to have to see who we are in Christ Jesus. Notice what it says. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We're going to have to be able to see who he is and what he has given us. And the more we see, like the one hope, one thing that really spoke to me was Henry Martin. He was a young man from a not so well-to-do family who married a girl from a well-to-do family. And the well-to-do girl's dad said, "What are you doing marrying this girl? Do you even know this guy? Do you even know where he comes from?" And the girl says, "Well, I don't know where he comes from, but I sure know where he's going." One hope, one faith. You know, in part, as we grow and we realize who we belong to, what he has called us to, as we realize the goal, go into all nations to introduce, to equip, and to grow, to assist people to grow, as we realize who he is and the purpose, there will be more of a desire in our hearts to cooperate with one another. But you know, there is one problem with cooperation. And that is that we fail sometimes to see ourselves as part of the whole. We live probably in the most individualistic time in history. It's not my problem, or it is my ministry, or it is my people, or it is my task, or it is my this individualism. And you know what? There are two dangers: individualism and cookie cutter Christianity. You know what I mean by that, huh? Cookie cutter Christianity, everybody talks the same, everybody dresses the same, everybody does the same, everybody speaks the same thing. So you have two extremes. You have individualism and cookie cutter Christianity. And what is the answer? The answer is university. Do you know what the word university means? It means unity in diversity. That is the goal. That's supposed to be the goal of a university. The goal of a university should be to develop people in their individualist gifts as they are created by a God who made everyone as individuals, uniquely created, but working in unity. So one of the best things that we can realize in our life is that we are allowed to be who we are. that the great discovery of our life is to realize who it is that we are, who God created us to be. There's nothing worse in the world than to try to be somebody else. I think it must be one of the saddest things in heaven when God created us in such a fearfully and wonderful way, and we spend 90% of our life trying to be somebody else. The wonderful thing is when we come to terms with who God created us to be, and that we would have the great freedom of being who we are apart from sin. And what is that sin? It's that self-centered, egoistic, independence, and self-reliance. That's what happens. What happens in a marriage? What happens in a family? What happens in a church family? What happens in a business? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Agree to what? Agree to respect, to agree to disagree, to walk together. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And when someone lifts themselves up as individualistic, self-centered, entitled, egoistic mentality, it's destructive. Esteeming freedom of action for individuals over the collective. You know, sometimes we just want to lift ourselves up, really, to dominate everybody else. And yet, even football teams realize, today I heard it actually in the news, because there was the big thing with Messi and the president and the club. And then Luis Enrique, the football coach, said, an ex-football coach of Barcelona, he says the club is above any president and any player. And if it's true of football, please understand, it must be true of the kingdom of God, no? It must be true of Jesus Christ, no? It must be true that he gave his life, that he gave himself for us, that he's given his spirit to reach the world. It must be true that the kingdom must be more important than our own personal preferences, no? But how do we do this? How do we esteem individuality without becoming individualistic? And of course, not becoming cookie cutter people. The personality remains. This is something that was really hard for me when I became a Christian. When I became a Christian, it was very difficult because when I realized, man, I have sinned against a holy God, I thought my personality was also sinful. So therefore, I became very quiet and I became very, you know, I imitated other people and I just became kind of very holy in what I thought holiness was. And then I realized that I wasn't really being me. And the thing in our lives is, it's you know, our personality is wonderful. It is our flesh that has to be crucified. And for me, it was really difficult to differentiate between those two, that it's okay to be me, but it's not okay to let the ego or the self-centered, demanding, entitled, bitter, you know, that all that stuff to take over. Personality remains, individuality remains, but we must not be individualistic, because if not, we become awkward and angular and rigid, and that is not to be. we have to be careful. I believe even in this church, and this is something that is in the past that it's very important for us to realize that we cannot let other people's conscience run our life. You know, I've told several people in the last couple of years, your conscience is not the Word of God. We have to reach a goal, and that is to understand what Jesus wants from us. And we all have individual walks, but we have to be careful with people like in Acts chapter 15, where they believed the circumcision was necessary to become a Christian, and in their conscience, they went all over the place saying, you must be circumcised if you want to be saved. Or you have to dress this way if you want to be saved. Or you have to talk this way if you want to be saved. And we have to be very careful that we don't do things because of other people's conscience. We have to be careful that our conscience grows healthy with the Lord Jesus and what He desires from us. We have to be very careful also that other people's call does not become our call. I love what's going on here at the moment. You know, some people are just like, I'm just about, you know, take Steffi, for example. I mean, my goodness, Steffi just, she's into the, just fighting for the, against the sex trade. And she's tirelessly goes and meets the prostitutes and shares the love of God with them. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Now, if Steffi was here saying, all of you have to do that, I'd be like, wait a minute. It's okay if you do that, and I'm glad that you want to communicate vision, but not everyone is to do that. You know, what if Martin said, everybody has to do the sound? What if James said, everybody has to do the coffee shop? What if, amen? What about if someone said, no, we don't need a coffee shop, we just need a children's ministry. The children are the important ones. What if somebody said, no, we need missions? You know, and we have to be very careful that other people's call does not get imposed into our life. We need to grow in love to the Lord Jesus Christ, in gratefulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we sense who He is and what He wants from us, we need to be faithful to do what He's called us to do. And I want to say it like this. We need to do it in a way that is with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We can do it. We are individuals, but working with other individuals. I think we're experiencing an incredible thing right now. I see people just in different aspects of vision, and we're probably in one of the most crucial times that we've ever been in this church. There are so many different people just excited about so many different things. And the beauty of it is that we would learn how to appreciate the diversity of these people, encourage the growth of these people, support what these people are doing, all of us together, and yet, in one way or another, bring it together, realizing that we're doing it for one purpose, for one Lord, for one God, for the kingdom of God. And you know, we've seen the coming together of this building, the different ministries, the art people, the sound people, the picture people. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. The giving, the just everything. And we need to realize no one lifts themselves up above another, but we all serve each other as a body. Think about your body. So tenderly care for other parts of the body. If I get a little splinter in my toe, have you gotten that here with erizos? What are they called in English? Un erizo? Anybody? What's that? No, no, not erizo, the sea urchin. If you get, have you noticed you get sea urchin, it just pricks your toe and you have that little black thing there and it's so little and it hurts and your whole body sympathizes with it. You know, you're just like, my goodness. Oh, and your whole body is just kind of like, ah. Or you get something in your eye and you don't let any other body do it. No, 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 I'll take care of it. You know, I'll take care of it. Well, whatever it is that's going on, it's amazing how every single part of our body is so different, and yet it all works together. Your eye, maybe your body says, I need energy. And your eye sees the food. And your tongue and your juices get flowing, and you taste the food, and then your feet begin to move towards the food, and then your hand reaches out for it and takes it and goes to the kitchen and then cuts it. And particularly if you're cooking for yourself, you just cook with so much love and you're salivating. And then after you cooked it and all the aroma goes up, you carefully feed your stuff, all this good stuff that you've prepared, and then you savor it. And you tell yourself how wonderful it is. And then it goes down and your stomach just breaks it down. And every part of your body is functioning for another part of your body so that your whole body is able to accomplish its purpose. Isn't that beautiful? And I want to just go through some things that I feel, just eight things, but very briefly. Where can we begin to be part of the body? How can we begin to be part of this body? And some of you guys have been coming for years, but you know, some of you are new. You're going to be able to talk to other people, and you're going to be able to tell them, hey, this is how you can get involved. Number one, how can you get involved and be part of this individual person yet unified body? Number one, by coming. That's number one. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing when, and I mean, this is going to sound so vain, but I'm not being vain. If I was here with two people and some guy comes, he's like, whoa. But man, when everybody gathers together and we're worshiping the Lord and a non-Christian comes, they realize, they sense Jesus with us. And they say, wow, I want to know this. And you know, right now there's been a danger with COVID-19 that people, online services have been great. I've loved every minute of it. Do you know what it's like to just go into your backyard and sit down and just teach for 45 minutes and then go right back into the living room and have a coffee? Hi, family. Do you know what it's like not to have to go visit anybody? It was glorious. But that's not church life. Church life, the danger is that we become lazy and sort of say, well, I could go online, but it's a wonderful thing when we come together and we're able to come in unity and serve one another in love. It is wonderful when we're able to give and help. You know, another way that you can sort of encourage this cooperation that is absolutely essential among us. You know what? One of the things, most essential things, is to be pleasant. I know it's a no-brainer, but think how pleasant one part of the body is to another part in our bodies. Just be pleasant. I know it's a no-brainer, but sometimes we just get grumpy. I do. But merely to display the spirit of love. Maybe you can't do great things, but you know what? Kindness, just being kind to somebody, can go so far. You know, sometimes people just come and all they need is just a little bit of kindness. Sometimes just listening to people. You know, we come together as a body And don't other parts of the body listen to what the other part needs? Just sitting down to listen to somebody cultivates unity and diversity. Visiting one another supporting and defending the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, just recently, just some accusations have been made about me that were not true, and it's been kind of painful. You know, well, that, I'm really minimizing it. It's been really painful. But the interesting thing is a couple of people really stood up and said, that's not true. You know what that meant to me? People that have known me for years saying, that's not true. Now, I'm not trying to talk about me here, but in defending the truth, if we are in the world but not of the world, and people have misinterpreting information about who Jesus and what the gospel is, for us to be able to be out there and in here and defend the gospel of Jesus. You know, it's funny, we were praying for the service, and we were praying for the online service with the team, with Per and with Martin and with Paul, and we're going prayer, and I said, Lord, Lord, we want to get these videos out to the people that cannot come to church, but also people in Mallorca that are tuning in, and so that they will see that we are not weird people, and they will see that, you know, we're sane people, and you know, I'm praying like this, and next thing you know, Per prays, and he says, Lord, and we just pray, I mean, it's, I don't care if they think that we're weird people, but Lord, I just pray that by coming to the service, they would realize that Jesus is not weird. Okay, I stood corrected, you know, but isn't that the ultimate thing? Isn't that the ultimate thing, that we would be able to be ambassadors wherever we go, that Jesus is not weird, but that he is the most majestic, the kindness, the gentlest, the most powerful, the one that will judge the heaven and earth, the one that took on himself the sin of the world, the one that is the true lover of our souls, and on and on and on. Like Lucy said to Aslan, you are bigger. And Aslan says, I am not bigger, you are older. And each year, I will be bigger. Because as she grew, as we grow as Christians, Jesus becomes bigger and bigger. He is wonderful. And part of being a part of this body is to be able to stand up for the truth of the gospel. Cooperating in the gospel of Jesus. To pray. To pray. Man, if we would pray for people as much as we criticize people, we see revival all over the place. We must always think of ourselves in our relationship to other people. The sound serves you. The worship band serves you. When people serve and are doing maintenance here, they serve each other. When I teach, I'm not teaching, I'm teaching to serve you. You guys serve one another. Do you see what I mean? We must think of ourselves and how we relate to one another. My goodness, in my family, I wish I was this quiet, patient, gentle dad, but I'm just not that. And I'm growing into that. But I tell you what makes my fuse blow is when we're trying to do something and everyone is just looking for themselves. I'm looking for myself. Jonathan is looking for himself. Arden is looking for himself. Loretta's looking for herself. And that's where we need to brace ourselves and realize, you know what? We do not live to ourselves. We all live in the light of Jesus and in the light of one another. I was talking with Tom, because his wife Yvonne, and she's so happy to be back at home. She's so happy to be back home in Mallorca. And I said to him, a happy wife is a happy life, huh? And he said, boy, ain't that the truth? And I went on to say to him, it's amazing. So when you read Ephesians 5, how many times the emphasis is on wives submit to your husbands. But that's just a couple verses. The bulk of the message of Ephesians chapter 5 is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and washes her and nourishes her and takes care of her as his own body. And what is the big lesson to be learned there? We think of ourselves not by ourselves, but in relation to other people. At home, at church, at work. That is what we need. We need to be people that collaborate and not to fight every single thing. Would you agree with me on that? That we could be unique as individuals, but cooperating together as one for the sake of our love and desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your great love for us. You came to earth, you saw yourself in relationship to the Father, and you said, send me, I will go. And you came to the earth, and everything that you did for your Father and for us. And it is because of that that we enjoy life. And Father, I just remember even in our first years of marriage, just the lack of cooperation. Just the striving for my will or the other one's will. Lord, help us, Lord, to relate to each other as unique individuals, yet as working in unity for one goal. And as believers, that great goal is to please you, to yield to you, to allow you to mold us. And as we're going to sing today, that you will purify our hearts and you will make us holy. That means set apart to you. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Help us never to lose that desire to be together, to give to each other, to be kind to one another, to listen to one another, to serve one another in love. Help us that a root of bitterness will not rise up to try to dominate everybody, but that there will be the sweet spirit of humility, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, that just is content to be who we are in you as we are a part of the whole. Just like the ants, just like the fish, just like the bats, just like our very bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
You never change. You
So I hope that you enjoyed today. We pray that God has spoken to you on the importance of cooperation. We must have that as part of our life, how to work together. We looked at the fish working together. We looked at the ants. We looked at the bats. We look at our bodies, how they work together. And we look at the church, how there are many parts, but we are one body, and how we respectfully, lovingly, and graciously deal with one another. It is essential for life, whether it's married life, whether it's family life, whether it's at church or at work. It is an absolute essential that we cooperate with one another. God bless you.
Capture my heart, I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak at all. My will, I focus my